chapter 11, if you would,
please. Just turn right where you're at. And of course, as we get going here this morning, I told you we came here to have church, okay? And we've gotten warmed up. This is what we're warming up for, the message from God's Word. And so I hope you understand the importance of it. And if you'll just keep your seat through the entire time, that'll be very helpful as folks will be able to pay attention better. If you just hold your seat and not move around, that'll be very helpful. So we appreciate you doing that. So Matthew chapter 11. We're right in the midst of the book of Matthew. Of course, the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of the gospels going together in perfect harmony. Don't you love it how that happens? That God chose to give us this presentation of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst here, I want to give you some background before we begin reading, so you know exactly what is taking place. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has gathered the 12 disciples together, and he is giving them and commanding them what their ministry is. In verse number 5 of chapter 10, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go hence." I want to stop reading there just for a moment, and I want you to drop down into verse number 36. And it says this, it says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." When we go into chapter number 11, as Jesus, again, I wanted to give you just a picture of what Jesus had been talking about to his disciples, because in chapter 11 it begins with the word saying, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." So Jesus has commanded the disciples, telling them, "Hey, this is what it is that you're to do. This is where you're to go. This is how you're supposed to go." And Jesus is commanding them, and now he's finished commanding them, and now he's going into cities, and he's preaching. And then I want you to pick up at verse number 2. The Bible says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I want to preach a message entitled to you this morning, A Heavy Load That Seems Lighter. A heavy load that seems lighter. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you because, Father, you are the only one that we can come to. And God, as we get ready to go through this message and these verses through your word, God, I pray that you would prepare each one of us. We've prayed already this morning. We've sang praises unto you. But Father, this is the most important part of the service where we await to hear from you. May it not be the words of this preacher, but may it be your Holy Spirit that convicts hearts this morning. May it be the Holy Spirit that draws men and women and boys and girls to you. Help us in this, that we may be able at the end of this sermon to say that our burden is lighter because of you. Help us through all of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Matthew chapter 11, as we come to this passage, I have always been interested in Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist was a great man. I can say John the Baptist was a great man because Jesus said John the Baptist was a great man. And as John the Baptist was sitting in prison, he sat there with doubt and despair in his heart and in his mind. Wondering, one, I'm sure, why am I here? Why am I here? You see, John had done nothing except preach repentance before God's people, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yes, he may have said that some were a generation of vipers. And John may have been a little harsh, but he really hadn't done anything wrong. And yet he finds himself sitting in prison. I can only imagine in my heart what was going through John's heart and John's mind. Evidently, we know that John had some visitors while he was in prison. As they came, they were talking. Obviously, they were talking about Jesus. The fame of Jesus Christ had gone throughout many cities and throughout the region. And John told two of his disciples that came to visit him, he said, I want you to do me a favor. He said, I want you to go and find Jesus and ask him a question. And it's really an unusual question, especially from somebody, you know, such as John. And he asked this question in verse number 3, you'll see it. He says, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now I want to very quickly remind you exactly who John was. He was more than the man that preached to Israel saying, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He is more than a man that was out in the wilderness and preaching this message and wearing some different clothes and eating of locust and wild honey and wearing again that the camel's hair and again just preaching like a madman throughout the region and many people coming to John and being baptized and through that ceremonial cleansing of their sin as they repented, for the kingdom of God was at hand and was coming. It was John that Jesus came to be baptized. It was John that God said to him, John, one day there's going to come someone to you, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove is going to come and rest upon him. And John, when you see that, I want you to know that's him. John, I want you to know, that's the one. That's my chosen. That's my son. And it was John, as he was baptizing, when Jesus came, he saw what God had told him he would see. And as John was baptizing and Jesus was walking and that dove in the Spirit of God came down and rested upon Jesus, John stopped what he was doing. The crowd gathered around, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus came and said, "John, I need to be baptized of you." And John said, "Oh no, I am not worthy to even unlatch the shoes of your feet, let alone baptize you. You ought to be baptizing me." Jesus said, "No, you're supposed to baptize me." So they came into the water. John took Jesus and he baptized him under the water and up out of the water. And when John brought Jesus up out of the water, he heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Same John that's sitting in prison saying, "Art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another?" It's kind of like two different Johns there, isn't it? And how do you mistake the voice of God? How do you mistake that dove coming down and resting upon Jesus? And how do you mistake that much to get to the place where you say, "Are you really even the one?" I mean, if you don't understand the burden that John is going through, oh my goodness. What a burden. What a doubt. Wow, how much despair that he must have had. He's sitting here saying, "I haven't done anything wrong. All I've done is serve the Lord. And here I am. All I've done my entire life is do the bidding that God has bid me. And now I'm sitting in prison. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" From time to time in our Christian life, we have doubts and despairs, don't we? We have burdens that come. Now again, you may have sat in prison. I never have, but I've still been in times of low places where, man, is this even worth it? You know, a lot of times when we see someone that would be in that fate, we often get to the place as those that are spiritual, where we say, why would you think that way? You know you're not supposed to think that way. And we kind of give them a hard time. But isn't it lovely how Jesus responds? Jesus didn't give John a hard time. As a matter of fact, he answered their question. They said, "Jesus, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another?" John wants to know. Look what he says again. Jesus answered and said unto them in verse number 4, he said, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." And in case you're wondering what you've seen and what you've heard, he says, "The blind receive their sight. the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He says, just go tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. But then he says this, and I want you to notice in verse number 7, very key to this passage. He says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Now, you've got to picture this in your mind. So the people are standing here. Jesus is preaching to them. We found that out in verse number 1. He's preaching and he's teaching and he's going. And then the disciples of John come up and say, Jesus, John has a question for you. Now the multitudes knew exactly who John was. Jesus knew who John was. The disciples knew who John was. And they asked the question, and Jesus says, as they're departing. That means they could still hear what Jesus was saying. Okay? You got to picture this. As they're departing, they're going back and they're going to deliver this message to John. Well, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. All of those things. And so as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see these words? You see Jesus here? He could have ran John down. He could have said, how dare John doubt who I am? He could have said, shouldn't John know? He could have told the people, hey, folks, let me tell you who I am and why it's wrong to doubt who I am. But he didn't. He said, let me tell you who John is. Notice he didn't say who John was. He said, let me tell you who John the Baptist is. He said, he's more than a prophet. He said, did you go out in the wilderness to see a reed shaking in the wind? He said, did you go out there to see somebody soft and meek and all of those things? No, John was a man's man. I mean, again, he stood up to anybody that was there and he wasn't afraid and all of those things. He said, what did you go out to see, a prophet? He says, I say unto you, more than a prophet. He said, did you go out to see that? He said, for who this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. He says, just in case you're doubting who John is, let me remind you that it is God's messenger that God wrote about. That's John. He said, for verily I say unto you, among them that are born among women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison and he's doubting and he's burdened and he's heavy laden and all of these things, and Jesus is just building him up. There's not a greater than John the Baptist. Verse number 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But unto you shall I liken this generation. It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now hold on one second. We're getting ready to change gears here. I'm wanting you to see who John is. I'm wanting you to see who Jesus is and who Jesus said John is in this time. He didn't upbraid John. He built John up. He didn't tear John down, but hey, the Bible says right here in verse number 20, then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. You know what Jesus is getting ready to say? And I'm going to read it here in just a moment, but Jesus is saying, hey, you've had John, now you've had me, and you still haven't repented. He said they still haven't gotten the message. They still haven't received what God is giving to them. Look what he says. Verse 21, he says, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then we come to verse number 28, 29, and 30. Verses that I have quoted multiple times. Verses that I have preached from multiple times. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For some reason, in all these years of ministry, all these years of reading through this passage, I've never connected verses 28, 29, and 30 with John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a burden. John the Baptist was heavy. John the Baptist was doubting who Jesus was. And Jesus ends this with, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, I imagine as those disciples went back to John and they said, this is what Jesus said. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised again, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I can see John saying, yeah, I know that. Okay. But John, you're not going to believe what he said after that. As we were leaving, he said, there's not a greater man born among women than you. Huh? That's odd. He said, John, you are more than a prophet. He said that you were God's messenger. We heard him as we were walking away. I don't know for a fact that they told John this, But I would think they would. If that's what they heard Jesus say. They said, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, if we're going to have a heavy load that seems lighter, we have to have an understanding of who Jesus is. I would dare say that as his disciples went back to John and told him what Jesus said, I'm just, again, going out on a limb here and thinking that John probably never doubted Jesus again. We know that it wasn't too long after this that John's life was taken. But what does this do for us today? If that message was for John, what about us? Why did God choose to record this here in the midst of Matthew? Well, I would think that as you and I labor, sometimes it's hard. You know, labor, that means to toil and sometimes to be burdened. And I will tell you, our burdens today to us are just as real as the burdens that John the Baptist carried while he was sitting in prison. They're just a different burden. Now, we may not be the greatest to be born among women, but I guarantee you we've got some burdens. That heavy laden means to have a load, to put a burden on. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. That yoke is that piece of timber that is hollowed out on two sides there. And oxen, they take it and they place it around the neck of two different oxen, and they take a pattern with. It's a mark of servitude. To be marked and to see how the two are connected. Within that, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. To learn means to gain or receive that knowledge, to receive instruction. He says, for I am meek and lowly. That idea of meekness, that mild temper, soft, gentle. I like this, not easily provoked or irritated. Given to forbearance under injuries, and appropriately humble. That lowly, being free from pride. He says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Two times he says, you'll find rest. In your labor, find rest. He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, that which is carried again. Oh, what a burden we have. So how does that heavy load seem lighter? Number one, I want you to see this. It's a long introduction, I know, and this is going to be very short, I promise. But how does that heavy load seem lighter? Number one, we must take our burdens to the right place. We must take our burdens to the right place. I will tell you, because fretting won't help you. Usually the first thing that we do when a burden comes in, we take it here. We take it straight to Worryville. The burden comes, we got to start figuring out a way. How am I going to get out of this? How can I lighten my load here? How can I do this? What is this going to be? And you know, after all, we are forbidden by God to not worry. It is the most given commandment throughout Scripture. God said more times, don't worry, than He gave any other commandment. Don't worry, don't worry. And yet we do. And that's the first place we go to. Because fretting won't help you, though. We've got to take it to the right place. Hey, can I tell you? Sometimes we get those burdens. We say, oh, if I could just talk to this person. Sometimes friends won't help you. Job had three of them, didn't he? Yeah, he did. And as Job had three of those friends, he went to them and he took those burdens, and his friends, they didn't help. Sometimes the physicians have no value, it says in Job. Sometimes our friends will allow us to wallow in self-pity and enable us to stay there. Yes, they may sympathize with you, but they can't really help. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, a real friend is one that tells us the truth, even if it rips our heart out. Fleeing won't help you. If I could just get away from here, sometimes we think that. Oh, I'm burdened. I got all these problems. If I could just get away. If I could just get out of here, oh, I know everything would be better. And it's not. Those burdens go with us. Sometimes it even gets worse. Just ask Jonah. Jonah had a burden from God. God said, Jonah, go. Jonah said, no way. He said, I'm out of here. And he gets on a boat and he flees. Because Jonah thought, I can get away from this burden. No, fleeing won't help you. Sometimes it makes it worse. You know, fighting won't help you either. Oh yeah, we get into that and we get into it and, you know, we start and we try to live in denial and we fight what we're called to face. We fight against it and we fight against it and we fight against it, and there's still no help because we can't win. But I tell you, the Father will help you. When we get to this invitation right here in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, he says, come unto me. You see, God throws open the doors of his throne room. In Hebrews, he tells us that we have open access to his throne. That is the proper place to place our burdens, is at the feet of Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Number one, we must take our burdens to the right place. Number two, we must transfer our burdens to the right person. To the right person. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he tells us that there's only one person who can care about us in the situation. He says, for God careth for you. We need to understand that God cares for us in the midst of our burdens. Jesus has walked through loneliness, the need, the difficulty, and death that he carried. He's been hated and loved and accepted and rejected. He knows what we're going through and he cares about us. We don't have to think for a minute that he won't understand. Sometimes we go through those problems in our lives and we say, well, if I tell so-and-so, they'll never understand. Oh, but we know someone who will. We must transfer those burdens to the right person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one who can do something about your situation. It's Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Number one, we need to take our burdens to the right place. Number two, we need to transfer our burdens to the right person. Number three, we must trust our burdens to the right provider. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, sometimes God will remove our burden. He did it for the widow at Zarephath. When Elijah showed up, and Elijah comes and he says, hey, go in the house and bake me a cake. It's been a while since I've eaten. And she says, sir, I wish I could, but I've got just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil left, and I'm going to bake a cake for me and my son, and then we're going to die. She was out gathering some sticks to cook it, make a fire. And Elijah says, hey, if you'll just trust me, he said, that oil will last and that meal will last until all of this passes by. And God removed that burden from her. And it's possible that God might remove that burden from you, but sometimes God just relieves the burden. He leaves it on your shoulders, but sometimes he lightens that load just a little bit. See, he did that for Ruth, didn't he? Ruth and Naomi came back to Israel after Ruth being or Naomi being gone for a long time. Depressed and in despair, burdened, even changing her name to Mara, which means bitterness. Ruth goes out in search of a job. She's got to work. She says, let me take care of everything. And she labors and she labors. And you read Ruth through it and you'll see that burden was relieved. And sometimes he'll rest you in your burden. You see this, what Jesus says? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The most common aid we receive from him is this. He gives us grace to carry the load we've been assigned with. The Apostle Paul went to God three times, he says. He says, God, remove this from me. And after the third time, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in your weakness am I strong. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly and in heart, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't say quit. He doesn't say give up. He doesn't say stop going. He says, join me and let's do this together. You see, there's a glory of him changing us in our situation rather than changing the situation in us. God receives much more glory when we change in the situation rather than the situation changing. We can rest in his yoke. We can rest in his house, in his spirit, in the peace that God gives in the midst of a burden. John said, Jesus, art thou he that should come? Yeah, John. I sure am. You may be sitting here this morning wondering if everything you're doing is for the right reason. If everything you're doing is worth it all. I submit to you, it most certainly is. But we must do it with Jesus. We must take that yoke on. And we must plow ahead with him. And it'll be so much lighter. Oh, the burden may not be relieved completely. It'll certainly be lighter. Jesus says, you have a burden? Let me help you with it. If you're doubting and in despair this morning, let him help you with it. Bring it to the right place. Transfer it to the right person. And trust them. To the right provider. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is that you this morning? Are you laboring and you're heavy? He said, I'll give you rest. But only as you take his yoke upon you. We must learn of him. For he's meek, he's lonely, and we can find rest for our very soul. That deep pit inside of us that's so heavy and so burdened and so troubled, we can find rest. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light.